Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. You love the Lord this evening? Man, Lord's good, isn't he? You know, there's a lot of men of God on the roads and traveling and doing different things that, you know, they're sincere. They love the Lord and they want to do things, but sometimes they need some help themselves, encouragement and word. And like I said, my time with ministers is in my home in the privacy, or maybe like in my basement of my church or places like that, to talk with them or to fellowship with them. Then I could get into the word, get into some things. And I've expressed that I would rather sit down with a preacher. When I went over to Africa, we had a pastor's meeting. There was 70 different pastors signed up. They all didn't get to come every day, but a lot of them did come. And I can tell you, I reached more people for the gospel with 70 pastors sitting in a room for a week than I could have went over there and preached to 80,000 people for 2 months straight.
Amen.
Because if you can change one pastor, one heart, one man, every time he opens his mouth, if it's to 5 people, to 10 people, to 50 people, you're there. You've spoke to those people when you've converted that man and brought him into doctrine. You can speak to 80,000 people and they go right back in without an evangelist or without a pastor. Absolutely, they're going to destroy it, tear it down and work. And it's very complicated. You know, we trust the Lord and we try to do what we can. You can all be seated this evening. I might deal with some things this evening that the Lord allows, but Brother Jonathan and his wife would understand went over last night, which he spoke with me about it before he made the decision to do that, to go over to visit a church. You know how I am about fellowshipping churches right nearby. I know people don't understand. They don't understand what proselyting means. They don't understand what it costs for lives. And I said with a man of God that know how to counsel. And a lot of you ain't in agreement with my pastor, Brother Pike. You've got your own ideology and your own things, but he was the straightest man of God and the most direct. But he said, Brother Rom, he said, you bust up a church, he said, your church will get busted up. It don't matter the condition of that pastor. It doesn't matter at all. You bust up a church, you will reap. You know, he talked about America. They're going to reap an atomic bomb for killing those people in Japan. Now, most of our forefathers and the people say, man, that spared thousands of lives for the simple reason they were attacking the world and doing this and that. That's all fine. I'm just talking about God's laws. What you sow is what you shall reap. And that's what we've got to learn to understand. There's things going on over in the foreign fields right now. Some chemical weapons, chemical warfares. Israel's fixing to do some things. And you're living on in a world that's like a time bomb. But I was saying that Brother Ed shared with me, said that Brother Johnson's family really blessed them by coming over there and singing. He said, was speaking about the anointing of God. He said, was speaking about, I believe it was Celestia. She played that guitar and he said, boy, she belted it out. And he said, man, it was powerful. And, you know, and I appreciate that. I know he's testifying of all the family, but he happened to bring out one of the girls. And I appreciate those kind of testimonies. Amen. But I do appreciate those kind of reports. And I'll be very brief. I know this church is right close by. Brother Ed said, he goes, hey, there's some people that I'm thinking. I said, absolutely, don't send them over here. I said, brother, you'll have blood on your hands. I said, don't do that, Brother Ed, please. And he received. He said, man, he goes, well, look, he goes, I know that some of these people need some help. Brother, I said, this is why I wasn't over there. You know, and the thing is it's, I'm very careful about those things, brethren. You know, and you say, well, what if they're not getting fed? What if they're dying? This and that, or what if they're going to, you know, well, there's a proper way to draw people into the things of God. And God just, it's very careful, especially when they're right on top of us. It's just very careful. Brother Pike, when he sent me up here, waited 10 years to send me up here as a pastor after being in this area and working. He waited 10 years. He said some things had to settle down, this and that. And then when I come up here, and then he found out I rented a building. I didn't know where the church he used to preach in up here, and he found out it was just around the corner. He said, don't you put a sign in the window. Don't you do nothing. And you just wait and tell you what to do. I said, yes, sir. And he said, you may have to move. And I said, no problem. You know, whatever. You just let me know. People don't understand these things. They think, oh, you know, hey, praise God, we're all Christians. And I told Brother Ed, I said, brother, it's very awkward for me, for you to be right around the corner from me, not to go over and support you. I said, I want to support you, brother. But I said, if you was going to start a church and you was in my church, I'd say, brother, go in another state. Is that what Brother Pike taught Brother Chuck? He said, if my son David Paul wants to have a brotherhood and a following, he said he needs to go off in another state and start it. He sent me 300 miles away. You say, well, you know, I don't know. People questioned me on this with Jonathan McKinney down there. And it wasn't the fact of him being loose in his spirit and the things that was going on I was watching. It was just a simple fact of what Brother Pike taught. You know, and this is the way brotherhood work. I broke fellowship with a pastor friend of mine before I ever met Brother George because he went 8 miles down the road from another brother of mine that was a friend that this guy was in his church. And this guy was a good evangelist, very powerful. He goes 8 miles down the road of a church he was when he was on evangelistic circuit, he was preaching for this brother. He goes 8 miles down the road and starts a church, and guess how many of this brother's people went over there? And I know where your thoughts will go. You say, well, if that pastor would have been any good, you know, he could have kept his people. I'm not talking about that way. It might be that they went over there because the other guy was a compromiser and the other pastor was holding a standard, you know. So, you know, there's just a lot of things to take in consideration. And I'm not going to go into much detail in that. I'm just saying that sometimes people don't understand things, you know, but there's some very sensitive areas. And if somebody, they're going to make allegations against you. They're going to make allegations against me no matter what I do. But one thing is, when an allegation comes, there's nothing to validate it or to say that, you know, they had some strength in it. And the thing is I do know that there is a very powerful spirit on many ministers and evangelists and different things of proselyting. Brother McKinney had that very bad. My grandson said he made him feel so uncomfortable to visit his church. He said, man, he done everything in the world, he said, Pops, he said, to try to get me to move down there. He said he done everything. And you see, that's not a man of God. A man of God will not do that. When a man's working in your church and he's on your platform and he has a vision and has a thing, another man of God starts pressing him to make and relocate, I'll tell you what, that man is of the devil. Did you hear what I said? Amen. And you said, you talking about Brother McKinney? Well, what was it when he went off with my friend's wife? Was that a man of God? Was that a Christian man? Huh? You see, people, when you're unclean in your spirit, you make allowances for those kind of things. Ah, you know, we got to have the mercy of God. We got to have the mercy of God, and we got to have forgiveness, you know. And I know that this pastor, evangelist, prophet, you know, he went off in an affair of this and that. You're unclean. I'm not even going to go into that doctrine right now. But I'm telling you, I understand doctrine, and I know the Word of God. And I could take you into scriptures and show you those things. It says you even let him in your house. You open up the door and let them in your home, it says, and then become partakers of their reward. If they come with any other mind, any other gospel, any other thing of such. And you say, well, Brother Rob, it's line upon line. Hey, I differentiate continually. And I say, well, I know you've let some whoremongers in your house. I said, yes, I have. I've let whoremongers in my house and whores and all kinds of things. And you say, well, then you just said you're going to be partakers with their reward. Let's go line upon line. Now, see, I'm going to give you a loophole to continue on in your perversion and your sin. You see what I'm saying? And that's where people take it. There has to be an element of grace with every law. Do you realize that? With those thoughts in mind, I'll just take you to some scriptures. And a sister asked a question. You know what? This question came in several weeks ago, wasn't it? And I just now saw it today. I get a lot of things and messages. And what happens, you might get 6 messages. And when you read one, it knocks the other ones down. I want to read a scripture to you, and let's go down to Exodus 20. And there's plenty of other places that this particular scripture, or you would find it. But we're going to go to Exodus 20, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, honor thy father and the mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God hath given thee. Goes into the commandments. There's other places in Deuteronomy that has the same passage. Goes into some things here. So we say, thus saith the Lord. Is this the word of God? Honor thy father and thy mother. Is this correct? Amen. Okay. We got to go with the scriptures and go with the word. I'm going to take you over and show you some scriptures where the Lord says you'll have no part with him in his kingdom unless you hate your mother and father. Now, what are you going to do with that? I'm asking you. What are you going to do with that? Well, which one do I believe? Which one do I walk with? He's commanded me that I have to hate my own mother and my father and my children. You say, well, I've never read that in the Word. Well, let's turn over there. Luke 14:26. But I do this purposely, brethren. And you know, if you're weak, I could make you think. It says, and if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Okay, so I want to extend the number of my days or prolong my life and have long life by honoring my father and my mother. And now I'm coming over here and I've got to hate them. Let's turn over. I'm just talking with you a little bit, a moment. And you say, well, this is confusing, Brother Rom. It's not confusing. But I purposely have to go here because this is the life that I live in. I got people that they'll take a scripture and they got me under the guns. And they blast me. They speak against me. They crucify me. They lie against the truth. And they'll take a scripture and think they're justified. So what if I read this scripture and said, you know what? I hate my dad. I hate my mother. And I hate my brother. And you say, brother, man, you've got a real spirit on you, man. You got some problems. I say, I got Bible for what I'm saying. Come on now. You know, it's line upon line. Before I read the other scripture, we'll go on down and read a little more of this. You know, this is why it's very dangerous to just grab a little piece out of here and a little piece out of there and make a doctrine out of it. And we could do it and justify wickedness in our life. We could do things and read scriptures and say, well, you know, I'm this and that, bless God. I'm standing word and be in rebellion against God, thinking that we're following him and listening to his word. And we could think that we have right in doing what we're doing. Like I said, you could justify a lot of things that you do with scriptures. You know, and this is why we have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. This is why we got the Spirit of God to lead us into all truth. And you know, the thing is there's, you know, when the Bible says that the letter of the law killeth. And see, I could take some of these things and kill people and kill myself with it by taking it right down and following the letter of the law. And the thing is, you know, well, this is New Testament and the other one's in the Old Testament. Well, which part of the Old Testament do we bring over and which part of the New Testament do we leave out with or whatever? Is this what I'm doing to differentiate between the Old and New Testament? Absolutely not. Because I'm telling you, I showed you the other night in John 1 and John 3. I showed you it looked like those two particular scriptures were contradicting themselves. You see, I was in a conversation even this morning and I used Brother Pike as an example. You can have a man that's big and hunting. Boy, all he wants to do is get in the woods. And man, he just can't wait till deer season comes around. He's got his gun. It don't matter what the man of God's doing. It doesn't matter what the brethren are doing. It doesn't matter about a vision. It doesn't matter about nothing. Man, I'm going to be in the woods. And Brother Pike said, that man will be in hell. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom. And he said, you know, he said, most of my brethren, you know, are just got these spirits about hunting. If they'd get away from opening day, they'd probably be all right. But you know, they're going to be out there, the boy, in the first day in the woods. But then yet another man, it wasn't a problem. The man would watch around the brethren. He would make himself available to the brotherhood. He would be working and laboring around and doing, taking care of the things of God. And you probably wouldn't even hear about it. They maybe took some time off, maybe done something, maybe went hunting. You know, I'm not talking about trophy hunting. Anybody wants to go out and just hang something on their wall and got this and that, they ain't got no spirit of God anyway. They ain't born again. You tell me that they got some kind of thing on them while they ain't born again? That's not exactly what I said, but you could take it for that if you'd like. I'm just saying if that's what they're going out there doing it for. If they don't care about the meat or anything like that and they just want them a trophy, that ain't right with God. You know it ain't right with God. Just go kill innocent animals like that. You know, but when you take and you provide for your family, but usually it'll cost you more to go hunt that bit of meat that you get out of that deer than what it would cost you to go buy a beef by the time you buy your $800 scope and your $600 gun and then your ammunition and then your camping gear to go out there and do it. And then the work that you're going to lose while you're doing everything, you just going to be better off go buy you a half a side of beef, you know, and a freezer. I'm talking out of experience now, brother. I'm telling you what, you know, and I'm just talking out of experience. But you see, the man that had a devil about it, you could sit and hear the pastor talk to that man and you'd think, you know what? Man, if I just heard what the pastor said, man, if you're a deer hunter and you're out in the woods, you was of the devil, man, and you're on your way to hell. But he never said that. But I'll guarantee you that's what the man thought that had a devil about it. And another man, he'd bring him over some deer meat after he went hunting. Brother Pike would eat it. Now, if it was wrong, and I've said this, if it was wrong for a man to be out deer hunting and that pastor was going to stand judgment with him by receiving the rewards of it by bringing meat into his home from it. But still he had to preach it was the spirit of it. It was the man had a spirit about it and that's where the problem came in. Now the thing is when we look at some of these scriptures You know, there's men that absolutely honor their wife more than they honor God. Now, I could take you into scripture as honor thy wife. I got a little writing over there called honor thy wife. You realize that? So, you know, the thing is, a woman could say, well, bless God, you're not honoring me. And this is what you're going to do today, sir. I ain't going to submit no devil like that. And I'm the guy that wrote the tract, honor thy wife. But some woman lay down the law to me, man, and I'm going to submit to that. I'm spitting my Lord in the face. And I love my wife, and it's a good thing when a man finds him a wife. But you got to find the spirit of the woman. And if the woman's spirit ain't right and you submit to it, it makes you evil. And you'll go to hell. I'm just telling you. You cannot submit to that kind of a spirit when a woman gives that place kind of spirit. Now, a man that's got the same kind of spirit, shut your mouth, woman. I'm the head of the house. You got no matter in this. Shut your mouth. A woman submit to that, she's going to go to hell with him. Well, what do we do, Brother Ron? Well, that's what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. There's some things that a man has got to honor and a woman's got to honor. See, a woman thinks she's justified in not submitting to her husband when he's not walking right or doing right. See, that's not right. Now, the thing is when this scripture talks about honoring thy father and thy mother, does that mean only if my father's a Christian? Is that what it's saying? No. See, there's an honor that I give unto my father and my mother, even when they were heathens, and a respect and a reverence that I gave to them as my parents. But then I had another father in my born-again experience, and I've got a father now that is greater, and I submit unto him. And if my father or my mother get in the way. Now, the thing is, there's a lot of things that come into play here. If little Isaiah come to me and said, well, I love the Lord my God, you know, much more than I do my daddy, Brother Rob, and I'm going to honor my father, and my dad wanted me to stay home tonight with him, but I'm going with the brethren. I say, absolutely not. Now, see, we've got an age qualification here. We've got an understanding. I'm not trying to make the following and leading of the Lord complicated here, brethren, but sometimes people make it complicated. And it's like, you know, we have to have some reasoning in the Word and reasoning together in the mind of revelation, in the mind of Christ. You know, the Bible said there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. But I know people that go get a multitude of counsel and there is no wisdom. Well, you're speaking against the Word of God. Depends on where you're getting your counsel from. You know, well, I'm not sure about what Brother Rob teaches. See, people have troubles with me because they don't know whether to make me a oneness or a two-ness or a three-ness. And they'd like for me to say, oh, I'm a oneness. I'm not a oneness. Well, they want me to say I'm a Trinitarian. I'm not a Trinitarian. Well, you just don't know what you are. I absolutely know what I am. I'm a son of God. And I'm a Christian. You come give me some Bible for your oneness and two-ness and three-ness and tell me that, you know, hey, when I was in the Trinitarian move, this, you know, well, you know, people said, what must I do to be saved? Well, you must believe in the Trinity doctrine. Has anybody else said that before when it was in Trinitarian work? Did you say that, Brother Ed? You know, that's what people, you know, you must believe in the Trinity. You know, how in the world can I go up to somebody and say, you must believe in the Trinity, and ain't even a biblical word? You say, ah, oh, you're straining that gnat and swallowing a camel. You got to believe in the Father, Word, Holy Ghost. I teach more Father, Word, Holy Ghost than any Trinitarian you ever met. And I know a lot of them. I continually teach in Father, Word, Holy Ghost, and you won't find that taught in no Trinity church. They'll try to tell you that the Holy Ghost, a person, and the Father's a person. Now, come on, somebody tell me that's got enough sense to graduate kindergarten. And how do you take an omnipresent God that's everywhere, and he's got every single person around this world that's called a Christian talking to him. Now, you tell me a person that can take and know the number of hairs of everybody ahead around the world, every raindrop that's hit on the earth, and he can have everybody talking to him all at once, evaluating all that. Well, he's God, Brother Rob. That's why. He could make the impossible things possible. Well, okay, fine. Praise God, but he ain't a person. Amen. Does every one of us have the person of God living in us, or do we have the Spirit? There's a difference. It's so simple. Why do people make it so complicated? But see, the Catholic Church, because of their ritualistic ignorances and departing the Scriptures and the Word and turning it into a biggest worldly organization, I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they couldn't understand revelational mindset, so they had to understand what they could, and they make it into a three-person Godhead. Oh, everybody can understand that. I was talking with a lady, and she says, Brother, she said, you know, it's just easy for me to understand the Father being a person. It's easy for me to understand Jesus being a person and Holy Ghost being... Well, yeah, it is simple, isn't it? You know, because you could think with your natural, carnal, ignorant mind it'll put you in hell and reason it all out and think it's okay, when it's not complicated to understand the spirit world. An omniscient God, all-knowing, all-present, the highest height, the deepest depth. So when you're at your highest height and I'm at the deepest depth, can you put a person in both places? You can't do that. And again, you know, I'm saddened to say this, but because of the adaptions and changes that have been made to the word person over the years, the original definition of person has been modified and changed. You know, when you go and look at it, the etymology of the word, and it's made adaptation and changes, and now a person could be something of the spirit realm. That's the way they've rewrote it. That's the way the changes of the word. But the original word, in the original writings of the word in the English language, the word person was not any way, shape, or form something that would apply in the celestial world. It was only something that was telestial. So they've modified it for it could fit their doctrine and fit what they say. And this is when I got into a dispute with a Trinitarian talking about a three-person God. They go over to these dictionaries and these study guides and these different kind of things. And when they start bringing me stuff and writings from commentaries and these different kind of things and saying a definition of a spirit of being something, you know, then they say, well, according to that definition, you know, if you want to call the Father a person, you could with the modifications and the changes. You see, but when I see a homosexual in hell burning in agony and despair with all sorrow and all of the things, and somebody say, would you describe that for me, what you're seeing there? Gay doesn't work there. There's nothing gay about this guy. He is in agony. He is in torment. He is in despair for eons and eons, the Bible said, forever and ever and ever. Nothing gay about that. But now, because of the etymology of the word gay, they said, hey, a pervert's gay. There's nothing gay about perversion and those kind of things. So, these are things, brethren, that we have to learn to consider, to see and understand. If y'all turn over there to Matthew 10:34, the first couple of scriptures right above it, 32, 33, again, is talking about how we have, let's just read up there, go up to 32, and says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Action on your part. But whosoever shall deny me before men, will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. Well, he's the Prince of Peace. But I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth grandson and granddaughter more than me. I'm just helping you grandmothers, you know. It's, you know, grandma says, David, I know. You know. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now let me use this as a foundation for many things here. You see, men that are natural, men that are carnal, men that have made a way, the hardest man to bring into walking in the Spirit. The Bible said to enter into this kingdom, you got to become as a child. Now you take a man that's been an entrepreneur. He knows how to work. He knows how to get a job. He knows how to hold a job. He's been in business for himself. That's the hardest man to win to the gospel of the Lord. Do you realize that? It is hard for a man that has a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding to do things and get things done to follow the leading of the Lord. Because God's ways aren't man's ways, but he's been trained in man's ways and knows how to get things done. Now, you've heard me express this. I say that most of the deacons in our churches are entrepreneurs. They're men, businessmen in town. They make money. They know how to make money. They got a good name. They got a good beacon score. Got a good name within and without. You know, they know how to work. They're working people. They're making money. They're supporting the church. This is an example of what Christians should be, and we're going to make him the deacon. But the Bible gives you the qualifications of a deacon wasn't being a good businessman. It was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Now, a man full of the Holy Ghost will know how to take care of himself. He won't be begging for bread. You understand that? He's going to be taking care of his own household and his own things. Brother Paul said, hey, I didn't come and ask you of nothing. I came in here. And I was sharing with you this and that. He said, even though I'm sowing spiritual things, wouldn't it be okay for me to reap carnal things from you? I'm paraphrasing, yes, but this is the things he said. So you see, we got to go line upon line. Now the thing is here, is the same mindset that we're reading in these kind of scriptures is seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to give you some examples how to get God not to move in your affairs. And you're going to remove him from it. Okay, so let's say that I'm violated. Now here's the way man thinks. If I'm violated from somebody, well, bless God, he ain't going to get by with that. Who's that guy think he is? He's going to talk to me like that? Do you hear what he called me, Brother Ed? Did you hear what he said about me? You think he's going to get by with that? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to set that guy in his... You know what the Bible said? It said, rebuke him sharply. That's what it said. Rebuke him openly. You know, that's better than secret love. So see, now I'm taking Bible to vindicate a devil I got. I'll show him. I'm going to put him in his place. I'm going to show him, bless God. Come on now. I should be hitting home with you because we're all men. I know, and hey, we do it. We use the scriptures to justify things. I told you what the Lord told me. Hey, I had righteous indignation, but he said, doesn't justify fleshly animosity. And that's where we go wrong. You know, it grieves the Spirit of God what happened. So now you say, okay, now that gives me the open door. Now, boy, I'm going to put them in their place. Preachers do that. They get up and preach. You know, I'm guilty. I'm sure I've been. You start beating people over the head with the scriptures and the Word of God. You know, but then yet there's a time for that. There's a time. What do you think Jesus did when he went into church with a whip? He actually whipped them and he ran them out. He was aggressive and forceful. You know, we're supposed to take the kingdom by force, the Bible said. You shut your mouth, you sinner. I'm taking you by force, brother. You're going to church. I don't care if you want to or not. Boy, I like that kind of soul winning. Praise God. Boy, that's my kind of way right there, Brother Rob. I've been pretty strong with them out there in the evangelistic field. I've been face to face with them. And I've had them threaten to kill me. I've had them barreling down over the top of me, screaming at me, slobbering. I've seen a lot of stuff over the years, brethren. I'm nothing, but I'm not saying, you know, but I'm just telling you, we're talking about line upon line. But let's talk about getting God's attention. So you get violated by somebody. Now, how many would you like to get it worked out, or would you like God to work it out? Which way would you like it to be? I'm just asking y'all a question. What way would you like it to be? Would you like God to work it out, or do you want to work it out? Okay, so now we're talking about having problems, okay? If we're going to talk about financial problems, we're going to talk about marital problems, we're going to talk about problems with in-laws and family, we're going to talk about these certain kind, whatever problems there are, we would hope that we can get God to work them out for us, right? Okay, now there is a way to get God involved. And there is a way to get God uninvolved. And do you realize that certain things that you do, that God just steps back and says, okay, you got this worked out, you take care of it. And he absolutely steps back because of one action of your own, that he steps back. You could come to the preacher, oh man, preacher, please, man, pray for me. Oh, please, preacher, man, I'm in trouble, this and that, and pray. But you already got God removed from the thing. The preacher can pray all night for you. But God's already stepped back and said, hey, you're doing this your way because you got in the way. Now, the thing is, as you've heard me say this, if God cuts holes in your pockets, and I know God cuts holes in your pockets, and I'm a fool to put money in your pockets. Is that right? Wouldn't I be some kind of fool to put my wallet in there? But if God cuts it out, now I know you've heard you say, but I'm using these things, we're talking about all the same way. Now, God is the one that done the action here, right? He's the one that cut the pockets out. So then I need to do an action too. I don't need to put money in them kind of pockets. So if I got my pockets cut out, I need to go find a seamstress before I talk to anybody. Is that right? Okay, so if the guy that cut them out, can he put them back? I'm sure he probably could. Okay, so we got to get some of these things out of the way. Now, I probably should find another example, and I will, of using finances because people think, oh, you know, here you go. But I'm talking about, you know, I make quotes from one of my pastors said, you can give yourself rich or keep yourself poor. What was he saying? You seek first the kingdom of God and do what he had, but when you don't honor him with substance, he says that you're a robber or you've robbed him. Now you come over and steal from me and then come knock on my door and say, hey man, could you help me out? Well, you stinking thief. Why would I want to help you out? But if I seen you trying to make a way and trying to do things and you wasn't stealing, then I would feel compelled to help you. Is that simple? Okay, but we're talking about God. He's a big forgiven God. Well, you know, I don't know why we make this God. I think when we take and talk about his forgiveness and his love, I think we get ignorant about it. Does anybody agree with that? Now, you think I'm going to take away the grace and love of God? I'm here because of the grace, the mercy, long-suffering, kindness of God. I want those things in my life. But I think when we go to the lascivious side of it, I think we make him ignorant. Let me give you an example of what I just said. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ is the husband, and we're the bride, supposed to be married unto him, right? Okay, so now we're going to look at his husband-wife relationship. Okay, so here I am, and I'll remove myself from the situation, remove all of you. So I'm Johnny Do-Right. My wife's name is Betty Do-Right too. Okay. So Betty goes over and likes Freddie Do-Wrong. She goes over and has an affair with Freddie. Oh, but I'm Johnny Do-Right. You know, I love you, honey. Come on back home. Well, you know what? I love you so much, honey. I'm going to go ahead and share you with you. But you can have Freddie Do-Wrong on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Friday, but I want you with me on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Tuesday, do what you want. Now, come on now. So now I'm sharing my wife with Freddie Do-Wrong, and I'm Johnny Do-Right. Okay? That's pretty stupid, isn't it? But I want you to stay with me for a minute. Okay, now let's look at it as husband and wife. I think it's pretty ignorant, or my wife would really think I'm ignorant if I'm going to share her with another man. Is that true? And I think I would be really ignorant to share my wife with another man. So either side of it, if she thinks I'm going to, she's ignorant. And if I think I was going to, I'm ignorant. Okay, so we could come to a simple conclusion here that that's pretty perverted, ain't it? Now, there's people that filthy and perverted and low that they do those things. But I'm talking about just common sense and decency. No man is going to do that. But then yet, our merciful, loving God is that merciful, you know, that we being his bride, that we're going to sleep with the devil 5 days a week and with him 2 days a week. Now, I know when you start talking, sleeping stuff, your mind goes on. But I'm talking about marriage relationship, okay? Now, what does that make, kind of God does that make him? This is pretty simple, isn't it? I'm kind of playing at stuff, you know what I'm saying? I like to just bring things out. But I mean, if we're married unto him and we're the bride, it would be pretty wrong. In other words, if I'm doing those things and he's in relationship with me, it makes him filthy. Now, can anybody say that Jesus is filthy? We know he's not. He's clean, he's pure, he's holy, he's godly, he's righteous. And I know we being the bride is holy, righteous. You say, well, Brother Rob, what you're doing is you've swapped dimensions now. Because you're talking about this bride realm, this and that. And I say, yes, I have. But it still applies. There's nothing when we start differentiating dimensions that makes unclean things clean and clean things unclean. Now, I know when he rebuked Peter and he said, don't you call clean what I've cleaned. He cleansed it. Okay, and there's an application for that. But you see, we have to understand these differentiations and dimensions. Just like when we're reading these kind of scriptures about honoring the father and the mother and these kind of things, we got to keep these things in proper perspective. You know, it talks about children, young children. They don't honor their father and mother. The Bible said they could shorten their days. I'm talking New Testament. Shorten their number of days. Shorten their days up. So yes, there has to be an honor. You know, and the thing is that there is a time that when the father gives the bride or to the man, there is a change taking place right then. She's got another headship now. That doesn't mean she dishonors her father. But she's got another headship right then. And when the household of her mother and father are making decisions for the son-in-law and the daughter or daughter-in-law, that's perversion and it's wrong. It can't go. Now, when they come for help and asking, you should be able to help them. Just as I with the pastor and with, like I said, with Brother John. If I told John, I said, John, you cannot do this and you won't do this. That's perversion. That's a controlling spirit and that's wrong. I've never done that. I have told men this. I had a man that was ordained in this work and was under the covering of this work, and he said he was going to go visit another church. I said, well, brother, You know, I didn't tell him he could not. I told him what I was going to do. I said, brother, if you go visit that church, I'm breaking fellowship with you. Two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And the church he was going to, the man was a whoremonger and busting up homes. And I said, you go over and visit that church, brother, and I'm breaking fellowship with you. And I done exactly what I said. And after he went and visited, he come back crying, oh, please, brother, this. I said, hey, you can come back to church, but you are not going to be on my platform. You're not going to be preaching from my sacred desk, and you ain't going to be doing no singing in my church. Now, if he would have come back and submitted that and took the reprimand, I could have restored him through some time of repentance. You understand that? But he chose not to take the reprimand, and he's gone doing his own thing. Now, we're talking about these principles right here. I know I've got a little ways away, and I'm not done defining some of this, but I'm using these things. He gives us some things right here in the passage of scriptures. He talks about us showing forgiveness to receive forgiveness, and he shows us here about denying him and not denying him. Now, a lot of times we think, well, I am not denying Jesus, but you do it every day when you deny his word. His word is spirit, it's truth, it's life. And you think, well, I'm never going to deny Jesus, but you could deny him by not keeping his commandments. You could deny him by going into your mind and making the decision to do something. Now, as I said a moment ago, you take a child, or to enter into the kingdom, you have to become as a child. Now, that's hard for a man to do. Look, bless God, I've been making my own decisions. I do what I want to do when I want to do it, thus us and us. And it's hard for them to enter into the kingdom of God. But you got to become as a child and submit to him and allow him, seek him first. So now we talk about finances. If we rob him of a first fruit, then we have removed him out of our financial situation. I don't know how supernatural your God is, but I know how supernatural my God is. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Can you make 90 cent go farther than he could make 10 cent go? Now listen to me. I mean, if you think you can make 90 cent go farther than God can make 10 cent. Now look what he done to make sure you're not reasoning here. What did he do with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? How many thousands did he feed with that? But I'm going to reason this out. Now, wait a second. Now, I'm going to get Andrews and Peters and I'm going to get their allowances, you know, and their money that they got said, we're going to send down here to the butcher or down to the fish market, and we're going to get a few things. And they would have been frank. You know, Lord Jesus asked us, we got to feed all these people. Hey, man, they'd have been pulling their hair out, huh? But what did he do? Okay, so now we're talking about, you know, and listen, I'm doing this for you, not for me. I'm not telling these kind of doctrines for you and pay your tithes. I'm telling you these kind of doctrines for you could learn to prosper in God. Okay? I owe that to you. And that's just common sense. You rob God. Oh, that's not New Testament. That's something. Well, you just keep it worked out and stay in your poverty. I'm just telling you, well, I know how God works and his principles work. But you see God with your first increase and your first fruits, he's going to get involved with your other finances. So now you got to only have 90 cent now instead of the whole dollar. But I'm telling you this, God can make 10 cent go farther than you can make the whole dollar go. And he could do things for you. And there's people in here that have witnessed this and they see it in their lives on a continuous basis. They don't even reason with God. When a man's reasoning with him, well, Lord, I'm sorry, I can't tithe and I got to do this. You've already violated the word. Well, I'll pay it later. I'm going to go ahead and I'll just give it later, but I'm going to go ahead and use it right now. That's not a tithe then. It's absolutely not a tithe. When you don't give it to first, it's not even a tithe. You know, it's the giving the first. Now, I'm not going to strain out of that and say, you know, you get paid and don't pay a bill, don't do nothing, you know, and run over here to the church and pay it before you go out. You know, if you want to cross T's and dot I's like some of you do in some of your other financial affairs, you might not do that. But I'm just saying this. I'm not bringing it down to that. If you set it to put in when you get your first opportunity, then it would be, it's not yours to negotiate with. Do you realize that? If Ed owes me $100 and he says, Brother Ron, I want you to go over to the builder and pick up the check, and the check's for $1,000. I can say, well, 100 of this is mine. Well, that's true, ain't it? But I don't have any negotiation factor at all with 900. I don't have, it's none of my business, this 900. It ain't mine. There's only 100 of it in there that's mine. And see, this is the way you need to think when you receive finance. Well, you know what? This is God's. Why are you negotiating with God's? And what are you doing with this? I'm just telling you, if you want God's attention in your finances, and if you're robbing God, and then you wonder why things are happening, and then yet you could be a very faithful tither, but you've got all this other sin going on in your life and wonder why you're not prospering. But, you know, we can get to straining that and that again and swallowing. But I'm talking about getting God's attention. So we use finances. If you want God's attention, seek Him first, like He said. Then He'll be involved in your finances. He'll open up the doors and blessings for you. We want to get God's attention. Now, let me switch gears from the finances for a second. If somebody does something, as I started to say a few minutes ago, and they violate you in some way, and you take it on yourself that you're going to do something about it. Okay, God says, well, you've just took this in your own hands. He steps out of the way. You've dealt with this in your fleshly intellect. You dealt with it with your manhood, your masculinity. You dealt with this. They're not going to get by with that. He steps out of the way. He is done with it. But if you would take a biblical attitude at it and suffer the wrong, swear to your own hurt in the situation, and be silent before the wrong, then He could get involved with it. And He could work things out for you where you will never get it worked out. And let me tell you something, what God does. You know how I start out talking about men and women, remember, about a man honoring his wife and the wife's in subjection and submission unto her husband. And there's even scripture about the husband submitting even to his wife against all popular demands and beliefs. But whatever, I'm just saying that there's a proper order in that. And when a woman, even when her husband is wrong, and she shows submission and love to him and returns a soft spirit, soft answer, turns away wrath, and she allows this man to really abuse her. Listen to me. When she allows the man to abuse her and allows it, you know what? And she doesn't retaliate with a tongue. The Bible said she wins him with her chaste. You know what a chaste conversation is? If you see, when a woman takes vengeance and retaliates and cuts benevolence off, cuts off doing, caring, and doing those kind of things, she says, okay, you've got this under control. The man will never change. The man will never change. God will harden that man's heart. He'll harden his heart to be a jerk. And it's the ordination of God. Because God is not going to allow a man to submit to the woman, because it'll put him in hell. Because she brought all of humanity into hell. The woman was in the transgression and the fall. And God is not going to allow a man, a husband, to submit to that. And He will harden his heart, and it's all because of the woman. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? I love to teach. And you say, I just don't believe that. Well, you keep believing it your way, and your husband's going to continue to be hard-hearted. And there is a way to bring the man. And when a woman subjects and submits, well, are you saying that I'm supposed to allow my husband to beat me and to do me wrong, to spit on me and talk to me like a dog? Well, if you would quit thinking you were justified in retaliation, then God would stop him, is what I'm trying to say. Do you think I'm going to teach a doctrine to allow a woman to be abused and all this? I'm saying allow God to fix it. God can fix it. God could change him. Do you believe that God could change a man? A woman cannot change a man. It's absolutely violation to the word of God. But God can. And the woman's going to have to do it God's way. Now the thing is, you say, well, how does a man go about it? A man that wants his wife to submit to him, there's a key to that. You know how he does that? You know when a man is complaining about his wife not submitting and thinks he's just talking about his relationship with God. My wife don't communicate with me. She don't talk with me. You don't communicate and talk with God. Well, I don't like that. Good, I'm talking to the right person then. The thing is when a man falls in love with Jesus and he submits and follows him and lets him make the decisions and stuff, the woman is going to see that man lined up with God and she's going to line up. Now see, when I'm teaching this, it's the same doctrine I teach about you being the lender and me being the borrower. And I use the scripture to you as the lender and say, you shouldn't have loaned to me with expectation return. That's what the Bible said. I'm in violation to use that scripture, just as the woman's in violation to use that same scripture against her husband. I'm teaching her the way, and there's scriptures that apply to her, and there's scriptures that apply to him. And when the woman is using the scripture to line the man up and beat him over the head with the Bible, or the man is using the scriptures to do this with his wife, they're both in error. Do you realize that? We use the Bible again to the other's advantage. Now, I'm a pastor. Does it make me any different? Let me explain that for just a moment. You see, I'm a man, and the things I'm preaching up here, I'm not separated from them because I'm a pastor. I'm accountable. If I'm judging you all, I'm bringing the same judgment to me. Isn't that right? And I'm teaching you how to judge. I'm teaching you the right things, how to do it. So yes, I'm more accountable. But the thing is, brethren, is I got to show both sides of these scriptures and the words for you. Now, the thing is, to get God's attention in your life, there's certain things that you got to do, and it's going to bring him on board with you. When you try to lose your life, then he's going to save your life. You try to save your life, then you're going to lose it. And then what did you say? Now, these things are simple to understand. And if I can't show forgiveness, then he can't give me forgiveness. So I'm controlling things, aren't I? Okay, so again, if I want the same principles here, if I want God involved in my finances, there's a principle to get him involved. I'm telling you, brethren, when a pastor speaks like this, this is the problem. People think, well, you just want the brethren to be over here working at the church all the time, and you want them giving money. And that's where they'll sit and fire at me in the spirit. And all they're doing is losing when they do that. That's all they do, is they lose out when they do that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have enough day of your week to get your job accomplished, try robbing God in it, and then God can't get in and help your week. I'm going to rob God by not giving my first fruit of my week for you Saturday Sabbath keepers. You know, we as the Christians give the first, okay? We're commanded to give the first of everything. So I give the first day of my week. Now, when I choose to give my first day of, don't choose not to, because if I give my first day of week, I'm just not going to be able to get my job done. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to work, this and that. You just set God back out of the rest of your week. He says, well, you got it worked out your way. I said to seek me first and to do this first. Now, you've chose. Now, listen to me closely. You that honor one day greater than the next, or this and that, and you're going to carry this right down to the law and say, well, this is Sunday. I understand there's going to be things that happen with people where they're going to miss a Sunday. But when it's habitual and they put it before. Now, I just got in this conversation with a man today. And let me tell you something. When I see a man that's habitual of missing church, there's a problem. There's a spiritual problem, number one. Okay. But then yet, I'll just use Randy. Randy does everything he can to be faithful. He misses church, yes, but he does. He makes a real attempt to be faithful. So I'm going to use him for an example. So he's got a builder. And he tells his builder, he said, look, sir, you know, I'll be done with my job on Wednesday. You know, I know you got your plumber scheduled in here to put all the finish in on Thursday, but I'll be out of your way and you can have it. He made a commitment to a man. Okay, now if the builder causes the problems and he don't let you in the house and everything like that, let him set his plumber back. But when you, because of something happened on your part, that you didn't make it and you messed the builder's schedule up, and you say, hey, builder, I'm sorry, I'm going to church tonight. You know, I'll be back tomorrow. Well, you're setting my whole job off. See, you just brought reproach to your name, to your Christianity, and you esteemed yourself better than him. And there's a problem there. Now, these are some fine lines here, brethren, because people take advantage of this. And I'm talking about honoring God. Now, you've got to learn to honor God. He knows when you're making excuses or when it's easy for you just not to do this and that. But when you want God's attention, you need to honor him with everything. If you want God's help in finance, you want God's help in marriage, you want God's help in work, whatever you want to do, you need to honor him. And I'll tell you something. I honored my pastor. And I made sacrifices in my finances, in my time, and in my business, even in my marriage. There was times that I neglected my family to make myself available to the work of God. But you know what God does with a family when you are making sacrifices where some ignorant intellectual mind is going to be analyzing this thing, saying, oh, he should be with his wife, or he should be this, or he should be that. God is strengthening, because you can be with your wife all day long and all you do is bicker and fight. And you can't stand each other. But when God's got his blessings on it, he could actually run that old evil spirit away from her, Brother Paul, believe it or not. And he could make it a real enjoyable time. No. No, I'm telling you. Do you want God to honor your marriage? He could make your time sweet. He could make your time joyous. He could make your time where you're enjoying to be with one another. He could do that because you've honored him. But you see, when you have denied him and you've done this, he steps back. He has to, because he has a principle and he's got to honor his word. And we seek the kingdom first. We seek God first. So you see, this applies in every aspect of our life. Dale, 1 year, he come over and he said, "Brother Rob, I want to bring this to you. This is the very first cucumber came out of my garden." And he said, "Hey, I wanted to give it to you." And he comes back testifying that he had a big crop. "Well, I knew you was going to bring it to yourself again, preacher." You know what? You see, that's, you know, the thing is that can destroy you. It isn't about me. It's about honoring God. It's about honoring the house of God, honoring the kingdom of God, honoring the things of God. There's people that could get so ritualistic in those things, they miss the Lord. And they could take it to the letter of the law and they miss God. But I'm talking about when you have the spirit to honor the Lord and love the Lord. Now we're going to go to this and close. Well, he said that I've got to hate my mother and my father and my wife and my children if I'm going to have any part with him. So is that what he wants me to do? What is hate? And how am I going to do this? I mean, we just read it right here in the scriptures. What am I going to do with this? But you see, brothers and sisters, there's many of us right here in this church today that make decisions that are family motivated before we seek the counsel of God. And this is why he would speak to you like this. Because you'd be better off to hate your own children and your wife and follow the leading of the Lord. Because what you've done is showed that you hate them by submitting to the thing before you did to God. I'm talking about bringing God into your life, into your substance, into your finance, into your business, into everything about you. And if you can really learn to love God more than you do your wife. Now, it's easy for us to say that. If you could really love God more than you do your grandchildren. I mean, if we were honest, you know, "Oh, I was thinking about Jesus more than that little grandbaby. I was thinking about Jesus more than that." Well, now you've probably got everything else whipped, but you're lying. Come on now. How about when Angela and Andrew were courting? "Don't even try to lie to me and tell me, Drew, that you thought about Jesus more than you did her every day." Man, absolutely not. I mean, come on now. Does anybody think that for a second? We know better than that. Okay, so is he in violation of the scriptures and the word, line upon line, we might say. But, you know, we got to be very careful. I want God in my everything. And there's ways to get him involved and keep him involved in everything. Like Brother Pike said, I don't want to just, you know, have a testimony of being filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I want to stay full. And yeah, hey, praise God, you ran the race well, but he says, what's hindered you? You see, there's principles, brethren, that we can keep. I had a man in this work that thought like, okay, man, I've really done well. Man, I've done real good. Man, I gave some finances at the church. I came over and helped clean up at the church. And I helped do this and helped do that. So, man, I built up this account. Now I'm going to go get a whore. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you, this is the man's ideology. Now, the Bible says this. This is a scripture that he would even use. He said, when you turn and do good, your evil is forgotten about. Now, is that Bible? Come on now, y'all know that's the word of God. When you turn and do good, the evil's forgotten about. So as long as he got back over to the house of God and maybe shared $100 or $1,000 with Brother Rob over here, he turned and done good. So now the evils of yesterday's harlot relationship is forgot about. Now let me tell you what I think about that, okay? I don't have words of expression of the ignorance of that. But he had Bible. But the Bible says that when you turn and do evil, that all the good that you've done is forgotten about. So is this scripture, are we going to apply this on a day-to-day basis? Absolutely not. I'm talking about a man that's been out there in the world, living in the world. He's been a drunk, a whoremonger. He's been a worldly man, a businessman, never sought God, never looked for God or nothing. And he comes in and finds out, and he repents of his ways and he turns and do good. All of that evil is forgotten of. You realize that? That scripture applies to that. But not a guy in here playing games with God. It absolutely is null, and that scripture is void and of no effect to that application whatsoever at all. This is again why we say continually, line upon line, precept upon precept. And we got to learn to do this and take the scriptures and the word of God. You know, and we have this ability of picking and choosing the scriptures that we want to use today. Well, I'm not going to use this one. I'll save that one for next week when I'm doing better. But I like this one today. Boy, I like the merciful God. Come on now, brethren. We're all men here. We're all fashioned alike. This is what we do. But we got to go again. We got to learn to rightly divide the word of God and understand it and see this. You see, a man that, or a woman or a man that loves his children, grandchildren, whatever, more than he does God. You see, the Lord would say to them, you got to learn to hate. If your husband, your wife is making you do things to deny God and do those things, you got to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. You got to seek him first and you've got to honor him. He is your father. You understand that? And when you do that, he'll make you a better husband and he'll make you a better wife. Do you think he's saying these things for that you could be disrespectful or mistreat them? But this is something you got to understand. I honor the Lord thy God. Now, how do you honor God first? By having a husband. I mean, when you have a husband, how are you going to honor God first? By keeping the commandments of a wife, which is the benevolence to the husband. And you're honoring the word and honoring God. Even though you're being abused and mistreated, you're honoring God, and God's going to step in. And he could straighten out a man and bring the judgments and the chastisement of God in, and he could do something with a man when a woman never will. And when a woman said she's going to do it, I'm going to straighten him out, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to make him do this, and I'm going to make him do that, God absolutely is going to harden that man's heart so hard, he's going to put stoppers so deep in his ears, and you will never penetrate him, you will never help him, and you will never change him. So now I'm talking to the sisters, I'm telling you how to straighten out that hard-headed husband of yours. Are you listening to me? Come on now, sisters, this is sister time now. Love him, submit to him. And be good to him. I don't like this doctrine, you say. I'm telling you, but it works. God's ways aren't your ways, woman. You understand that? And brother, when you fall in love with the Lord and you give him everything that you've got, give him your all, then he is going to make your time so rich and you will have quality, adequate time. When God puts the blessings on a man and wife's time and you take some quality time with a woman for 1 hour, it is much richer than if you have her for 2 days without his blessing on it. We have to truly, brethren, learn. We've got to learn to get God's help. And to get God's help in whatever you're doing is going to seem so opposite to what you're taught. You need finances? What have you been trained all your life? Man, you got to go out and work. You got to be honest. You got to work hard and save. Absolutely, you just left God out. You just left God out. That's not God's way. What you have need of is you give it away. You start giving it away. You get a hold of a little money, start giving it away. Say, man, I can't do that, Brother Rob. So you're telling me if I have financial problems, start giving away. Who do I give to? Well, you know, just give it to the... Give it to me, man. Hey, praise God. No. There's understanding with what I'm saying. God will help you and he'll lead you. You first take to the storehouse. That's the first place. Meet that and take care of that. And then God could help you with the rest. And believe me, if you think giving 10 cents of your dollar to God is tough and it's going to just make ruin your world, then you go ahead and keep your dollar. And I'm going to add 10 cents to it. I'm going to come over as a pastor and I'm going to love you enough to help you. And I'm going to give you 10 cents for every dollar you make. And I'm going to watch you get in one of the biggest wildernesses that you've ever been in your life. So if you don't want to pay God, I'm going to help you. Come to me. Challenge me to this. You come to me and say, okay, preacher, I heard you myself from the sacred desk said that you will give me 10 cents for every dollar I make to help me. So I will. I'll do that. Hold me to this. Okay, I'm talking to you brethren in here. I'm not talking to you on the internet that's making $1 million a week. And send me some money and a loan and I'll do it. I'll help you. But I'm serious. You know what? A man came to me, and I got saved, and I was serving the Lord, and I love the Lord and all this, and a man came to me, and he said, Brother Rob, he said, do you tithe? And I said, I didn't know what it meant. Preacher never preached on it. I didn't know. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he took time and explained to me. He said, man, I didn't know that. So, man, I just started tithing 10% of my gross income. And I had a business. I was a businessman. And you're required to tithe on the increase. In other words, if you made $10,000, but $5,000 of it was tile, and you made $5,000 cash, then you tithe on the $5,000. If you paid $2,500 of that $5,000 out to employees, you didn't make that. That wasn't an increase to you. You made $2,500, so you tithe on that. But I didn't know that. I started tithing 10% of my gross income. I didn't know that. I'll just give you an idea. My material bill was like, I think, $13,000 one month. That's pretty good tithe, the little church. Just on my material bill, not talking about my income. And man, I'll tell you what. My business started booming and going so fast, I couldn't keep up with it. I was weeks backlogged. Well, that's because you were a good worker, not because you were tithing. But you know what? I started making money. I said, you know what, man, I like this. I started giving 20% of my gross income. And then now you know why the pastor told me when the Lord called me to go to out of state. Oh, Lord, don't do that, brother. That's what he told me. He said, let me tell you something, brother. God does not ever take a man that's established. You want a home here. Man, you got a big... God never calls a man like that and sends him off to another state. You're missing God. He told me that. Brethren, we got to take the word of God. We got to learn how to get God's attention, whatever we're doing. You keep working it out your way and doing it your way, and you're going to stay in the same mess. Why does man stay in the same mess all the time? Same problem, same complication. And you know, I like what Brother Chuck, he showed me a thing that Einstein said. He said, the definition of insanity is doing the very same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. So if things ain't maybe working the way you think they should be, then maybe you ought to try maybe listening to what the preacher's saying and applying something in a different way, getting God's attention. Now, to get God's attention, the woman gave everything she had. She gave the two mites. And I'll tell you, she wasn't lacking. I guarantee you that woman's needs were met and taken care of. Do you realize that? They were meant to take care of. The woman that took the last bit of oil in the cruse and the last little bit of meal and gave it to a prophet of God, it said that it never went dry. And that she was sustained through bad times of drought and different things. You see, she got God's attention because she gave her last bit. So we're going to take an offering right now. Boy, this was a good message for an offering tonight. I like this. Let me tell you something to you that believe in giving and sowing. Thank you. I appreciate your loyalty, your honesty, and you could say yay and amen to the things you heard here tonight. And I know many of you are very faithful, and I thank you, and I appreciate that. But on the other hand, I could say this. This message wasn't designated for the help of the church. God takes care of the work of God. And when you think for a moment, and I've had men that's been in this church, and they felt like they were the backbone and the strength of this church, and if they cut their finances off, that this church would fail. And I've had some of the biggest givers do that. Some of the biggest and largest and most givers. And they thought that this church would dry up without them. You understand that? And it's still going. And we're blessed and we're prospering and we're going on. I appreciate the help of a brotherhood. I appreciate their substance, their life, their times, their equipment. They bring their equipment over here. They utilize it to take care of the grounds. They bring their time, their substance, their finances, their families. And you know what? But I turn and look, and I see what they're doing and what God's doing with them. Stephanie and Andy are probably spending upwards of $300 a month in mailing. You guys come over here and moan. So I said, let me go buy some gas. Let me do this. We go off to the restaurant maybe to get a sandwich or something. I said, man, at least let me buy the sandwich. No, Brother Rob. I mean, this is men that have a heart to give. You know, I'll take care of the fuel, bringing their equipment, doing these kind of things. And they prosper and they blessed. We got people that know how to give, know how to make themselves available. And I see it in their lives. So others will reason. and reason it out. And they won't make themselves available, and they won't be there for the work of God. And you'll see it in their substance. You'll see it in their lives. And when Randy Gilbert's puts 400,000 miles on a Chevrolet, if God ain't involved in that, I'll resign and quit preaching. God can honor the revolutions on your tires. He can honor everything about you. He can honor how many squeezes in your toothbrush and your toothpaste, how many squirts out of your shaving can, how long that bar of soap will last. Well, come on, man. You know, you could laugh about it, but God can add an increase. I'm an analyst, okay? I'm sorry. And I'm judging and righteously judging and trying to analyze things. And let me tell you something. You know, I've watched people that rob God. And you know what? And I see things that take place in their lives. I'm thinking, wow. You know, you see somebody that's honoring God, and it looks like they got a little financial complications or problems, but all of a sudden something that this other guy went and paid $600 for it, God dropped it in their lap for $60. You know, like I said, guy robbed for a steak dinner one night. The brother said, you know better than that, you can't do that. Blew out a $100 tire before they get so many miles down the road from restaurants. I said, brand new Michelin tire, blew that thing out. I said, woo. Say, I tell you what, that's an expensive steak dinner. You know, does God work that way? Bible said on the day of adversity, a man needs to consider his ways. I could start sharing about your mistakes and your failures. You know, I could talk about a lot of failures a lot of my brethren have made over the years. You know, but thing is, God chastens them that he loves. And I would rather lose a good job and pay a price on this side as go to hell for my ignorance and foolishness. A man could come to this message right here, Christian Temple or wherever it's being ministered at, but I'll just talk about right here. And he could have a lot of things going on in his life that the Lord's winked on and winked on and winked on. But because we take the time to indoctrinate and to teach, it brings you to an accountability. There's people that walk into this place and reject Jesus' name baptism when they walk away from here, and they have got themselves in a position to be literally cut off from God. You realize that? A soul decision of their destiny. Now the thing is we take adequate time to teach gospel on doctrines of baptism. You know, a little booklet that we wrote took adequate time. But there's more than that, just that even. But there's more. And there's things that we used to draw from and eat from and feed from. But when we come to revelational doctrine, it makes that perverted and dirty. And we can't eat no more. Do you realize that? And it might have sustained life to you, but you came to a place that you got to eat of something different. I can't go back to Assembly of God. I grew in there. I drew from them. I loved them. They loved me. And I grew in the grace and knowledge of God. But I had to depart from them back in the 80s, in the mid-80s, 84, 85. I had to leave that then. Not that I went into oneness doctrine and then I went into some other kind of different Trinitarian works and went into these word of faith, went into these kind of things. But you see, and even coming through some of these charismatic ways and charismatic circles, and you know, I've been in these fivefold ministry churches with their prophets and evangelists and apostles and stuff. You see, and there's just a lot of these things that they've got doctrinal correctness, but there's just a lot of foolishness in it. You know, Brother Pike made a statement on a message I was listening to last night at about 3:30 in the morning. And this is what he said. He said, I could come in and preach to you. He said, I could raise up my voice and scream. But he said, you know what? That's just the man. He said, I could do that. He said, but I want to get you down and talk to you and teach you the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there's a place for preaching. There is a place for preaching. You draw add into the kingdom and you draw the heathens into the kingdom by the foolishness of preaching. But brethren, there is an evangelistic field that need preaching. I'm telling you what. But when you're walking in the discernment of the Spirit, there's a time that you have to take people and teach them. The Bible said the pastor has to be apt to teach. And the Bible says that people perish from a lack of knowledge. You understand that? The Bible said you are gods, but you die like mere men because of a lack of knowledge. It is my obligation to teach you the knowledge of God that you could live eternal and have eternal life. This is a gift of teaching to teach that to you. Do you realize that? To teach you who you are in Christ that you could have eternal life, or you'll die like a man with a lack of knowledge. All right, let's sing another song and we'll close the service. I love y'all and appreciate you. Pray for me. Let's get right with God. Let's serve Him. Let's make sure He's number one in our life. Pray for these ones that aren't here. Steph and Drea, understand, weren't feeling well. My wife wasn't feeling too well. My grandson Howard, man, he sounded rough, man, yesterday and today, just tied up in his chest, couldn't even hardly. I mean, he was just, it was a little guy like that big. You can't have that deep of a voice, you know. But pray for him, amen. Pray for my son, Robert, out on the road and working out of state and different things. His family being here, keep them in prayer. Pray for Paul Stone, little Paul. He needs your prayers. And, you know, there's a thing to mend and to fix and stop the devourer from destroying his marriage. There's a way out. He's got to find that. Amen. Pray for him. He needs help. You know, don't let people be disposable. You know, people do things and we can close up our bowels of compassion, say, you deserve that, you sorry rascal. And I say, yay and amen. I'm pretty harsh, pretty hard. But on the other hand, brethren, we got to have some bowels of compassion. And we can see that God can orchestrate things in people's lives that they can't get down to the bottom, that God can reach down to the uttermost and pull them up and clean them up. And maybe this is His time to turn around and find true repentance. Maybe this is His day to get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and start serving God and get out of His religious ideologies. Amen. Pray for Him. He's our brother. He's our friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I sing a brand new song. It's amazing grace. Fall in love with Jesus. Let Him be your all. Let Him be your everything. Let Him work out your problems. Submit them to Him. Give them to Him. Ponder your past. Don't make hasty decisions. Back off a little bit and allow the Lord to speak, to talk, to help you. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.